The enemies of Jesus wanted to lock him up after he was dead. When his body was laid in the tomb, the leaders of the nation of Israel or Judah went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver Jesus said that after 3 days I will rise again. So give orders for the tomb to be made secure, to be locked up until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples might come and steal his body and tell people that he was raised from the dead." In answer to that, Pilate said, "Go, make it as secure as you know how." So they went, they got a Roman seal and put it on the stone, that is a lump of wax between the stone and the hillside that the stone was covering the whole opening to the tomb. They put a piece of wax there and they put the impression in it of the Roman Empire. And so anybody who broke that seal and opened that tomb was breaking Roman law and was subject to death. They wanted to keep Jesus in there. And they stationed guards, Roman soldiers, to keep the tomb from being opened. The instinct of those leaders was to shut down the memory of Jesus. They wanted to put an end to his influence in the world. And you know, it's interesting that they understood so well what he had foretold. He had said, "I'm going to rise on the third day." They had heard that. And they wanted to make sure that nothing like that even seemed to happen. So they sealed up the tomb. I almost wonder, as I read this, did they remember the prophecy of Jesus about rising again better than the disciples did? They acted. Those leaders who were enemies of Jesus, they acted on the basis of that promise of Jesus. The disciples didn't so much. But how foolish those leaders were, because God had promised that Jesus would rise again. And God himself was committed to the raising up of Jesus from the dead. So it didn't matter what they did, how hard they tried, they would never be able to lock down Jesus in that tomb and be done with him. They could just as well have tried to lock the sun from rising in the morning, or lock the sea so that the tide doesn't rise. No, the Word of Life, the Lord of Life, was going to keep his promise, and he was going to rise again. That's what happened on Easter Sunday. The ground around the tomb shook. The Roman guards who were there to keep the tomb closed says they became like dead men. They just fell on the ground, couldn't even control their own bodies and movements. And Jesus was alive again. An angel of God came down from heaven, broke that Roman seal, and rolled away the stone, and the Savior Jesus defeated death, broke its bonds, and he broke the bonds that sinners had tried to put upon him. Think about sin as being like a chain. Sin produces guilt and shame and fear and hopelessness. We feel those things when we realize our sins and the bad consequences that come from them. I read a story once about a young man, I believe it was in the land of India, who decided that he was going to wear a chain on his body to represent his sins. Every time that he realized he'd committed a sin, he was going to add another link to the chain. And then he was just going to carry them. That would be his atonement for them, to make up for his sins. Well, at first the chain was light and small, but as his life went on, more and more links got added to the chain. Eventually, that man couldn't even stand up and walk by himself anymore. Well, that chain that represented his sin became such a burden that he had to have help from servants just to move around. Our sins are chains upon us. They're chains that hold us in rebellion against God and in fear of God and in feelings of guilt and worry. But Jesus delivers us from that, those chains. When Jesus was dead, his enemies said, "Now we must make sure he stays in that grave. Everyone must know he's dead." They sealed it up. In their hearts, their motivation was to try to lock up the truth, because that's who Jesus is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who tells us about God. He's the one who shines the light of truth on our consciences and shows us what we really are as sinners. He's the one who makes known to us what God's will is. And they wanted all of that to be chained up, to be taken away, so that they didn't have to deal with it anymore. Sin makes people act against their own best interests, and it prevents the enjoyment of life. But the grace of God breaks the chain of sin and sets us free. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When we know him, by faith in him, by knowing him as our Savior, we are set free so that our consciences aren't burdened anymore, so that we can enjoy being in the presence of God, thinking about God, praying to him. We don't have to worry about facing God, and we don't worry about the future, especially what comes after this life, because we know that we are safe and well in the hands of God. Jesus unlocks the chains of sin and sets us free. Now, the disciples of Jesus, after he died on the cross, they were shackled by sins, but also by doubts and fears. They locked themselves up in a house in Jerusalem. They bolted the door because they thought the enemies who had taken Jesus away might come for them. And they're trying to protect themselves. They didn't have enough faith at that time to believe that Jesus would rise or that he could keep them safe. But Jesus didn't leave them. That Sunday evening of the day that he rose from the dead, as the disciples were gathered in that locked room, huddling together, sad, discouraged, suddenly Jesus stood among them, and his first words were, "Peace be unto you." Words of comfort and reassurance. That wasn't just a casual greeting. "Hi, how are you?" No, that was a greeting that met the deepest needs that they had. It was a greeting that told them, "Friends, you have peace with God. By my authority, on the basis of my death and resurrection, I tell you that God is at peace with you too." What a wonderful message. That was a key unlocking the chains of sin and the fear and doubt that it brings. Jesus says the same things to you and me when we hear the words of absolution in the service. That's why it's such an important part of every service that we have. We confess our sins to the Lord, and then the Lord uses one of his servants, a pastor, to say, "Your sins are forgiven. By the authority of my Lord who called me, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And with that key of God's work in Jesus and God's promises relating to him, we're set free from our sins. The disciples were amazed when they saw Jesus, fearful and yet overjoyed all at once. And then Jesus breathed on them. And in doing so, he gave them the Holy Spirit. And he did that so that they could free other people from their sins. Jesus said to them, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven." That's a wonderful statement to the Lord's church. It's the authorization for the church to pronounce forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and by his authority. It's a kind of a power of attorney that the Lord has given to his church. That's what we call absolution. And the Lord calls servants into the office of the ministry in order to publicly proclaim those words of freedom. That's what the risen Jesus brought to his people, freedom. Freedom that we know that our sins are forgiven, and we know that we're children of God, a freedom that gives us assurance we have a place in God's eternal kingdom. When Jesus appeared that first evening, 10 of the disciples were there. Judas had hanged himself, and Thomas wasn't there. We don't know just why. But whatever the reason was, when he came back, the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord, Thomas." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and then put my hand into his side, I won't believe it." He was stubborn. But 1 week later, the disciples were gathered in the same room, the door locked again, and again Jesus came and stood right in the middle of them. And again he said, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine how Thomas's eyes must have gotten as big as saucers when he saw Jesus? And then Jesus, who knows all things, knew what Thomas had said. And Jesus said, "Thomas, put your finger here. Feel these marks in my hands. Feel this wound in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas replied with one of the great declarations of faith in all of the Bible. Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's who you are. You're my Lord and you're my God, the Son of God the Father and my Savior. Jesus said, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Isn't that interesting? You and I have never seen Jesus with our eyes, but we've heard of the good news about him, and the Holy Spirit has used that good news to give us faith in him, so that when Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and believed," he's blessing you and me. How thankful we can be for that. We share in the same blessing as the apostles. And Jesus comes to us. The one who set us free comes to us in the Lord's Supper, and he gives us his body and blood to assure us that we're forgiven, to assure us that the chains of sin have been unlocked, taken away. You know, things changed after Jesus rose from the dead. For 40 days he appeared to the disciples again and again to let them know that he was truly alive. Then he sent them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he sent them out to release other people from these chains of sin, to tell the good news to others that Jesus had died for them and risen again. And when the disciples were full of the Spirit of God and doing that, the enemies once again tried to lock them up, put them in jail, couldn't do it again. Just as the body of Jesus was raised, the church, the apostles, were delivered from jail by the power of God as an angel came in the night and unlocked the door and let them free so that they could go and tell the good news of Jesus. Jesus sets people free. He set us free by his death and resurrection. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He's the truth that sets us free. And so as we continue to celebrate Easter, we say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for freedom from sin. Thank you for a free heart and conscience. And Lord, use us to serve you as you wish. Amen." And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.